Well, welcome. I just want to say thank you for having me. I also want to say, didn't Heather do a great job last night? I am so glad that we don't have to stay in the trial phase. We get to go on and go through the training, and there's life after training. I am going to keep my eyes on the North Star. Okay, well, connecting the generations, doing life. Linda called me and said, would you come and tell how you, over the years, have connected, learned to connect with the generations? I said, no. And she said, you don't have a choice. You're coming. I look at the word generations, and that feels lofty and big and nothingness to me. But if I change that to people, I'm there. So there's two things I'm going to talk about today. One is how to connect with different ages. I'll tell you a few stories. The second thing is I'm going to try and give you things that keep you from disconnecting. You want to stay connected with people or the generations. I have to breathe out. There. I'm a person who loves God and his kingdom. And like Jenny said, I'm principal and have been since 1991. That's pretty amazing. I spent time with littles, middles, and bigs, and their parents. I do have five children. Four of them are girls, and then the Lord gave me a boy. Ah. 18 grandchildren. I love them. They all fit in our heart. In this heart, there's 18 of them, and they're easy. But this does not qualify me as an expert on how to connect with the generations, only with the Lord showing me things and helping me through what I've learned. Then I've learned some truths, and I'll try and mention some. So connection. Let's talk about the older generation. I myself had no elderly people in my family. I think I had grandparents, but I didn't know them very well. And so I knew nothing about the older generation or any of the older people. I just had to learn. This is one of the ways I learned. My husband, Michael, and his brother, they loved their grandmother. They loved their grandmother. Their mom worked when they were small, and so grandma raised them. And Grandma Cade took care of them. Older people were not an issue for my husband. They had lots of elderly in their family, and it just wasn't an issue, and they loved Grandma the best. So after our first date, Michael's and my first date, we had to go see Grandma afterwards. When I went in there, I was a little bit afraid because she was wrinkly and had gray hair, and it felt a little kind of like an alien. And while we were there, Michael began to tease her, and they began laughing, and pretty soon she was chasing him around the living room with a paint stick. So after I visited there for a while, I too began to love her. But I want to tell you about Grandma Cade. This is what I learned about her. First, she was married when she was 18 years old. She had two kids, and then her husband died with diabetes after 4 years. She remarried and had another child, and then was widowed again because of the First World War. Her third marriage brought two more children, and also with it, years of supporting a family of six, because her third husband now had developed tuberculosis. And he lived upstairs, and they kept dishes apart, you know, tuberculosis is very contagious, and their two youngest got it. And two different times, their two youngest had to go away to a sanatorium, once for 7 months, once for 9 months. Can you imagine? But she still managed to pull the family together, all working to live through the Great Depression and the World Wars. Grandma Cade gardened. She set up these vegetable produce stands. She did laundry, and she ironed the Navy's uniforms. That's how she brought money in to provide for her family. In fact, all five of her children worked and brought money into the family. But here's my point. Grandma Cade loved life. She did not let these difficult issues interrupt that life or her relationships. One thing that I learned from her over the years, she smiled, she laughed, she grew food and flowers. She traveled by bus and train to visit all her relatives all over the United States, and I did not hear one word of her hard life from her, only from other people. Her example showed me that complaining, blaming, or being ungrateful was not the way to do life. How did I connect with the generation that came before me? Well, I spent time, observed, asked questions, and listened. But you know what? Grandma Cade's example of happiness, kindness, so bridged the gap there that I really didn't have to do anything. I was connecting with the older generation doing life and didn't even realize it till I looked back. I could have withdrawn. I could have not been involved, but look what I would have missed. Now the younger generation. These are a little easier for me after being a principal for 30 years. I love these guys. Do you know that they are just people, but they don't have those walls up yet. They don't have those barriers up yet. So you get some real conversation right away. The Lord showed me that these littles, though given to us for a time, are not ours. They're His. We are here, yes, to pour into their life, but they are on loan to us. They are entrusted to us, and they are a gift. When I was around the littles and the middles, even today when they come in my office, I give attention to them, trying to be opened by the Spirit. I say in my mind, Lord, this one, let me see them as you see them. I look with the Spirit to see who they are. They could be vulnerable, sensitive, bold, confident. Some of them are sensible and intuitive. Give me eyes to see, Lord. I have to look intentionally. I have to tell myself to do that and do that. I begin knowing who they are because I listen with the Spirit. Lord, give me eyes to see. Give me ears to hear. Do you know God hears what you think? You can walk all day with Him, just thinking to Him, talking all day. You can involve Him in everything you do. And to prove it, I have the scripture right here. Psalm 94:11. The Lord knows the thoughts of man. I connect with the Lord and in my thoughts to hear and see who this one is. Connecting with the ones who are in my office the most are the easiest to get to know. We talk, we connect, I listen, I fall in love. Now I think, how can I help this one? The Lord has shown me I am not to punish these guys. That's why they're in my office usually. But I'm not to punish them. I can encourage them, train them, yes, correct them, guide, and never break connection. Boundaries, yeah, they get set. Consequences come into play. And I might say something like this. Oh, why did you choose that consequence? I would hate missing my break. No PE for a week or whatever consequence I've given them. We'll try again tomorrow. You can do it. If after I give a consequence to someone and I can say to them, after I've given the lecture and the consequence, if I say to them, now, would you like to go to lunch? And I really want to go with them, that's a clue to me that I didn't break any kind of connection with them. If I'm hostile towards them, I think something's wrong with what I did, because we're for them for their good. Okay, I had to change my own thinking regarding how I would bring up my own children. It seems like it's easier sometimes to relate to other people's children than it is to your own. And so I had to turn into the Lord. Once the Lord showed me that the kingdom's here, now it was very hard. I was going to try very hard to raise my children as kingdom kids. So I wanted to be a good mom, but this was the problem. I was determined to make them mind. I was forcing them to behave. I was not going to allow my children to act like that lady's children or act like those that didn't know the Lord. I did not handle situations correctly. Father God had to teach me, train, don't punish, and demand. If we are good punishers, we might get a surface behavior. But what about their hearts? It takes longer to train for the heart and to capture their heart. So how do we stay connected with our own children? First, let me say this. We serve a great King. He gives us free will. He wants us to know Him. Jesus sets an example for us, and then He invites us to come. He knows how the world works, and He knows the blessings it brings when you do life the way it's meant to be. It's a lot better if you want to serve Jesus than if you have to serve Jesus. Jesus and the Holy Spirit train us right in the middle of the situation that we're in. Probably because now we're listening, He can write His ways on our mind and on our heart. Does He punish us or does He train us? Does He train us through His wrath? No, I don't think so. He trains us through His loving kindness and truth. If we only use truth, we could slay each other. It's incomplete. This is my Bible verse. Romans 2:4. Do you think lightly of the riches of His kindness and tolerance and patience, not knowing that the kindness of God leads you to repentance? The very first time I read that scripture, I was almost physically hit by the fact that it didn't say, not knowing that the wrath of God brings us to repentance. It was like bout face. The Lord had to teach me. I'll give you an example. One of my daughters, who was smart and stubborn, she was 13 when I found myself in the middle of trying to get her to hold the line without being full of wrath. She was screaming at me. I stood there and I looked at her, and in my head I said, now what am I going to do? What am I going to do? I heard a voice in my head say, hug her. I didn't want to hug her. She was rude and screaming. Now, I could see my own attitude was not quite right. I was actually against her still, though I thought I had tried to correct her in a different new way. I heard, hug her. Have you ever tried to hug a bear? Or how about a banshee? Hug her. I just said, Lord, I think she'll probably hit me. I believe that. As I dropped my pride and I walked toward her, I was saying to the Lord, this is not going to work. I put my arms around her. She flailed and continued shouting her views at me. With my arms around her, I said, see, Lord, I told you this was not going to work. But within just a few minutes, she melted into my arms and she cried. She cried a long, deep cry. And when she was done, she finally spoke and she said, Mom, why am I your bad kid? I just thought, oh, wow. Now we had a real conversation. Now we stayed connected. Now her comment showed me she really did want to do right. So I learned as much as she learned that day. Never let the issue get bigger than the relationship. Train those for who you are responsible. Don't punish them. See them for who God made them with all their giftings. Respect them as people belonging to God and not to you. Stay connected even when they try to disconnect. Consequences? Yeah. Boundaries? Yes. Loving kindness and truth? Now, do you want to go to lunch? So now the bigs. These older kids know everything. They listen to you, but they don't think you know how things really are. They have decided how things go, and you don't know. The middles, they act like they're not listening, but they are. They hear your words, and later, they might make it sound like someone else told them, or they thought it up themselves. But say it. Say it anyway to your middles. They are listening. But not so much with the bigs. This is what I have to do with them. And if you have teens, and I could hear some of you have teens, I hold up my principles to them. I tell them what I believe. And I let them have their own beliefs and let them talk about them. I pray that the Lord would make me persuasive and influential. I wait until they ask me a question. Just watching your bigs, you know what their weaknesses are. I say, be prepared to speak to them if you're given a chance. Be prepared in season and out. And I think that refers to more than just salvation. I think that's in life things. Find out what God has to say about the morals or the current subjects or the life problems or whatever you're dealing with. Prepare. The reason I say that is because sometimes I've looked at my older children, I see what they're going, and you know all the answers, and you've already been through them, and all this stuff is going through your head. But the times that I just go, oh, why do they believe that, you know? And I'm thinking, but I just let it go. An opportunity will present itself where I could speak to it, and now I don't have all my ducks in a row. I could have known, I could have been prepared. And so I try and think and get that ready just in case the Lord presents an opportunity for me to speak. And remember, he's going to make me influential, so it's okay. I try to be myself, hold up the things that are righteous and true. They can spot hypocrisy a mile away. What I'm saying has to be in here and not just talk. Secondly, these children, no matter what their age are, they don't belong to us. They're placed with us. They make mistakes. They say crazy things. But if we have a responsibility for them, like a boss, a teacher, a parent, or something like that, there's a progression going on. They're learning as they go. So we have to let go while we're transferring the responsibility to them. Now I'm going to tell you a story. It's an extreme story of how dealing with the hierarchy of consequences took place in my own home. My son decided in high school that he didn't have to do school homework. He was about 14 or 15 years old. We had the typical parent thing of nagging. Did you turn in that late report? Did you do everything that was assigned to you? Then the restrictions came, increasing in severity, hoping to get the desired result. He often recited his mantra, "Homework interrupts my life." Now he decided to do something about it. No more homework. Okay. Of course, I was fretting night and day to my husband. I didn't know what to do. And Michael looked at me and he said, "You hush, I'll take care of it." Oh no, now what? Part of me was imagining a cane across his back. The other part of me was going, "Oh no, that's my baby." Oh gee, sorry. Don't touch the microphone. Instead, listen to what happened. I witnessed this huge loving kindness, mercy, truth, and grace of God the Father. Here's how it went. Michael says, "Okay, son, this is what's going to happen. You don't have to do your homework. It's your choice." Okay, pause. "But the Lord says, if a man will not work, neither shall he eat. So you will not eat until your work is finished and caught up." My response, "What? What?" Okay, here are the rules. Restriction to the house, no one comes over, you can't go anywhere, you can't eat until your work is finished, but it's up to you what you do during the day and when you do it. I won't bother you. Next day, "Son, you have to go to work with me today. I have to make sure you don't sneak food. But I know this will be tough, so I won't eat either. This way, you will know that I am for you and not against you. Bring your schoolwork in case you decide to work." Before and after work, James was playing video games. He was going out back with the dog. He was completely free to do everything he wished. There was no harsh words from Michael, no nagging, no withdrawing from him for his decisions. And I was concerned, and I started voicing them, and my husband said, "Hush. Point your finger firmly in the stop position." Next day, "Well, son, seems it didn't seem to matter to you whether I ate or not, fasted with you yesterday, so I will eat today. I am doing my work. It's apt to be a little harder for you in the truck today, so bring along your work, and you can have something to do if you get bored." Next day, my son he went home. Well, actually, it's not the next day. He went home after that day, and he played games, TV, and I can't remember what else. But not a stitch of his homework was touched. He slept. He did more games. He did computer. And from Dad, no harsh words, no suggestions. He related, connected. He even showed him things as usual. He was always showing James things, but no food. That evening, about 10 o'clock, my husband's at his computer, and he senses a presence behind him, and he turns around, and he said, "Dad, I'm getting pretty hungry." It's been three days. "Oh," he said, "how long do you think it'll take you to finish your work, son?" "I think I could finish in 3 hours." Checks his watch. "Okay, I'll meet you in the kitchen about 1 o'clock. We'll have a big old sandwich. I'll wait up." Okay, while they were enjoying their meal together, my husband asked James, "Why did you wait so long?" And his reply was, "I really thought you'd give in." I would have given in. Oh, it would, you know, that's a hard thing. I'm thinking about CPS showing up at my door. Connection, mercy, grace, loving kindness, and truth. No disconnect from us. That's the goal. One of the great disruptors of connection with others I have found is when we allow these issues to take precedence over everything else. This is over any generation, any age, relative, neighbor, coworker, situation. So this is what I do. Here's God. His name is above all names. He's up there. He is creator, awesome and mighty. He sits on his throne. He sits on it in power, and he owns everything. And like Jen was so good to say, he will never leave us or forsake us. Nothing can separate us from the love of God. Then there is, so here's God. Here's his kingdom. His kingdom stands, and not even the gates of hell can prevail against it. We have a king. He sits on his throne, and he will reign forever and ever. Now, what's the problem? Let's keep it in perspective. God, kingdom, all's going well, problem. Now, what's the problem? Husband won't talk to me or listen. Teen is self-absorbed or irresponsible. Preteen is selfish. Elementary is senseless and reckless. Littles have no self-control. Neighbors talk too much. Boss is controlling. Relatives are nosy. We seem to get through them little by little as we grow, but sometimes there's more. Husband is violent. Neighbor is a criminal. Father has turned me in for his new family. Mother is drunk. We have to deal with everyday things or severe things, but they're here. God, kingdom, here this is. How do we not break connection with these people? Of course, we ask God for help. We have to look up or at the North Star. Trying to have the right heart towards someone does not mean everything they're doing is okay. Leaving the door open to them while working through things keeps the possibility of staying connected. God just might make me be a difference in somebody else's life. I have the answers. I want them to ask me. I want to point them to the one who loves them and can help them. Will they ever ask me if I'm angry at them or against them? Now, some people, no, wait, I want to say this. In my own life, in my weakness and my rebellion, God never threw me away. He left the door open with willing arms for me to come back. It didn't matter what generation I was in or how severe my offense was. The door was open, and his heart was for me. I want to be like God. Some people say, be like God? Who can do that? You don't know this person and how much they've hurt me. I'm done with them. I think we all know about forgiveness. It has to happen for us to move forward. I want to be forgiven by God, so I will forgive. But what do I do? Okay, here's something that I learned a long time ago. Thank you, Lord. And you might want to try this. It keeps me humble, and it makes me a lot softer towards others. I go like this. Well, you can go like that too. If you are angry with someone, decide what his or her offenses are or is, or whichever the pronoun or the verb is correct. Are they mean? Are they uncaring? Are they unloving? Be specific. He rejected me. She killed someone. Now sit in a quiet place and ask God, when was I mean? Listen, an incident will pop into your mind of when you were mean. Ask me how I know that. Pick another person and size up their sin. Sit quietly before the Lord. When was I prideful, Lord? Or when was I a thief? An incident will pop into your mind. Pick a real person with a real thing, with something you hate about them, and ask the Lord, when did I do the same? I have not found one offense yet that something didn't pop into my mind when I committed the same sin. I did get to the point, though, where I tried to trick God. I said, well, what about this sin, Lord? I don't remember ever killing somebody or murdering them. So I said, Lord, when did I murder? An incident popped in my head of a time that I hated someone. Yes, hate is the root to murder. Or what about the harsh words that can so affect someone that you take that someone out? You kill who they actually are inside. Whew, sobering. Okay, here's your scripture. Romans 2:1. Therefore, you have no excuse. Every one of you who passes judgment, for in that which you judge another, you condemn yourself, for you who judge practice the same thing. Now, I can ask forgiveness for judging God's people. Now I am in a place to forgive the offender. Now I can pray for them and have a better heart toward them. Maybe the Lord really could use me in this situation. See this Bible, well-used Bible that I love, that God left for us? This Bible applies to me. I'm not allowed to take this Bible and place it on you, required of you. This is for me. Everything in here is for me, me and him together. I cannot put this on you because I am not the justice police, okay? And this Bible right here, this belongs to you and everything in it applies to you. You can't take this Bible and put it on me. You know why? It's God's job to write his ways on our minds and our hearts, and he will. You are not the justice police either. Here's a situation that happened in our home. My husband and I love to entertain, not with formal dishes and those name tags and things like that, but open door, wear what you want, drink what you want, come over, few people, a lot of people, all's good, just bring food, we gotta eat together. Our home group and our friends, we all got together regularly. And there was this young woman who had 5 kids and no husband. She would come to our house. Her children were little urchins with unkept dirty hands. The food was out. Her children would dive in with their hands from serving dish to mouth, and double dipping was involved. It was difficult to have her over. I tried watching the table and training them myself. I was exhausted when they left. God is on the throne, remember that? His kingdom still stands. The issue is down here, has to be worked through. He paid the same price for her that he paid for me. You know, the he. What was I going to do? Lord, When was I enjoying myself while my children were doing despicable things behind my back? When did I not teach my children important things that respect others? Forgive me for these offenses, Lord. I forgive her for those offenses. Now, what about loving kindness, truth, and don't break relationship? We still have a bit of an issue here. I told her when she was by herself, we were alone, this is hard for me. I know you love your children and you are good to them, but because their hands are dirty and they don't know how to use utensils yet, it's hard for me when they come over. How can we solve this? Is it possible for you to get a babysitter? I will pay for it. Will that help? Would you serve them and not let them serve themselves? Now, because she did not watch them closely, she would agree to this but wouldn't carry through. I started putting the food on the bar instead of the table, telling the kids, ask your mom, she'll help you. But now there was a little basis for that. Now, the devil does not want you to work anything out. In your mind, it will be too hard and won't work. You will think you are being right, just not to let it bother you. You actually are putting off the inevitable. You are pressing it down. It will boil up at a different time that maybe might not even be that severe. She was not one that was easily accepted. Was I going to love only the lovable? Here I will add, I had to look at this young lady with eyes to see her potential, her gifting, and her possible future. Now I'll tell you the end of the story. Her children grew up, the Lord taught her. She very naturally stepped into her calling. She was the most accepting of others of anyone I have ever known. She loved them, she did not hold grudges, she was generous with her time. She made a place for the misfits who needed Jesus. I could never have done what she did, but I aspire to always accept, love, and make a place for others. Now, God wants us to be able to judge things. We have to be able to size things up and be able to tell the difference between good and evil. We have to discern what's going on. But to judge as to condemn or to write someone off is not our job. There's one judge, and it's not us. His name is Jesus. Acceptance and no judgment is connecting. Think about it. Who would you like to be around? The one who is always trying to fix you and pointing out your faults? Or is it the one who is easy to be around because they like you, faults and all? Like my home group. So easy. Okay, I lift up Kathy Martin to you, who loves with every fiber of her being. She loves because God loved her first. She is my friend, who accepts me for who I am, faults and all. If you know Kathy, you know what I'm talking about. I lift up my friend, Linda Hoffman, who always loves God with her whole heart also, who loves and lives on every word that proceeds from the mouth of God, who is honest and trustworthy. And you know what? She accepts me for who I am, faults and all. I think she's practically perfect, but she doesn't require that of me. She's just for me. Now I'll tell you about one more lady. Another lady I know has not seen her father for 5 years. He doesn't do as fathers should do. He ignores his family. In fact, he got remarried. She tried and tried to have a life of some kind with him. But he was too busy, and he always put the new wife ahead of her. She broke relationship. She was done. He doesn't do as he ought. She's done. I don't know the ending to this story. My hope is that she will do as Christ does with us. My hope is that she will pray for him and leave a door open for future relationships. I hope that she will give the timetable to the Lord for things to be fixed. God knows the future, and he is for us. Never let the issue get bigger than the relationship. With more difficult situations, the principles are still the same. Our attitudes and actions, screened by the Spirit himself, will enable us to stay connected and not write someone off. People are answerable to God for their own life and actions. They're not answerable to us. Our boundaries might have to be a little extreme with a dangerous one or a caustic people, maybe. But what is our heart doing toward them? How do we connect to this generation doing life? Any of the generations doing life. Spend time with people. Listen. Forgive and accept people. Be on their side. See them through God's eyes. Walk by the Spirit to never let the issue get bigger than the relationship. May God bless you to be able to connect and stay connected and do life. Thank you.